But then they came up with a lot of rules and restrictions and regulations of what quantified as work and what quantified as rest on the Sabbath day. So I'm going to give you some of those. These are real, and this is what people put into place. On the seventh day, you were not allowed to use medical treatments. That would have been classified as working. So if you had a toothache in the first century, a common way to treat a toothache would be to put a little vinegar on your gums. You couldn't do that. But what you could do, you could douse a little extra vinegar on your salad or on your lamb kebab and kind of swish it around while you're eating. That would bypass work. You could get around that. Here's another one. You couldn't walk more than 1,000 feet from your home. And this is the way you got around that one. You could walk 900 feet, then you could eat a meal, and that would reclassify where your home was. Then you could walk another 900 feet. You just have to eat a lot of food and walk. This is what people did. And then there was a rule, which applies to our text here this morning, that a person was not allowed to carry anything. And what you could do is you could sling it around your back, so that it looked like it was something that you wore, that would classify as not working. That's applied to this text right here. And you can see how this works. I don't know about you, but I know how I would approach that. You see, going through all those restrictions and rules and regulations, the Sabbath would no longer become a rest. That would actually become very exhausting. Did I violate it? Did it not? Did I not? Did I perform the way I should have on Sunday, or did I not? That's a very exhausting system. Let us understand here this morning that just because we're a part of religion, that doesn't guarantee that we're going to get rest. Just because we're in ritual or routine doesn't guarantee that we're going to get rest. So how do we get rest? I think you all know the answer to this. It's the Sunday school answer. How do we get rest? Jesus, a person, is our rest. Jeremy, how is that possible? We here at Peace Lutheran Church, we talk often about how it's important to say how we believe in Jesus. I want to flip that around this morning to give you some comfort and relaxation and rest. Jesus believes in you. As we take a look at this text in John chapter 5, this man that is healed has really no redeeming qualities or attributes. If you look carefully at this text, I want to list them to you. Number one, he does not seek Jesus. In the wedding at Cana, they're seeking Jesus. In our miracle that happened last week with the royal official, he travels a journey. This man does not seek Jesus. Jesus seeks him. Then when he's healed, do you notice that he doesn't even give thanksgiving to the man who had just healed him? Incredible. If you had been paralyzed for 38 years, wouldn't you be jumping up and down and saying thank you? There's no thanksgiving here. In fact, the text gives the indication that he forgot who it was, didn't even remember his name. Third, when the authorities finally find this man, he rats Jesus out. He doesn't say that he healed him. He says, oh, he's the one who told me to carry this mat. Go find him. Jesus believed in him. Jesus sought him out. Jesus worked on his behalf. Sure, Jesus asked some tough questions like, do you want to be healed? By the way, wouldn't that be awkward if the pastor asked someone that question? That's one of those things that you probably shouldn't ask someone. Do you want to be healed? And then Jesus says very directly with imperatives in the Greek. He says, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. That's very strong language. But what's behind that is Jesus believed in this man. He approached him and wanted to help him in his circumstance. That's great news for us gathered here this morning. Jesus works for you. He believes in you. He loves you. And he works on your behalf 24/7. And one of the frustrations in these days is that so often we can get to the point that we don't think anyone's working for us or that things are going to be closed. You name whatever it is, your favorite restaurant, oh, they're no longer open on this day. Even schools have been closed on certain days. Church at times throughout the pandemic has had to be closed in a sense. But what this text reminds us, and that brings on frustration for sure, but what this text reminds us is that Jesus is always working. You notice in verse 9 that it relates what day of the week Jesus performed this miracle. Jesus performed this miracle on a Sabbath. In fact, 4 of the 7 miracles or signs in John's gospel are performed on a Sabbath day. Now, why is that? Why would Jesus perform his miracles on a Sabbath day? For one, it was believed by the Jews that only God himself worked on the Sabbath. So, although John's gospel doesn't explicitly say Jesus was God, well, it says he was a son of God early in chapter 1, this is great proof that Jesus is God. Only God was supposed to work on the Sabbath. But more importantly for us, we need to take this away. This is communicating to us that Jesus will work for us 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week. On a Tuesday afternoon when we're sad and isolated and we don't have anyone to turn to, he's there to work on our behalf and be there with us. On a Sunday when we're resting, he continuously works on our behalf. Or maybe you relate to the man in John chapter 5, or maybe you're an atheist, or maybe you're an agnostic. Jesus comes to you. He works on your behalf to serve and be busy on your behalf to bring you true rest. This is how our rest comes, by recognizing there's someone here to serve us 24/7. The world that we live in will tell us all sorts of antidotes for how we should get rest. As in John chapter 5, there are all sorts of places to go and people to turn to and things to do to get rest. We have experts, we have books, we have things that we can Google, and some of those things are excellent and they help us and they give us rest and restoration. That's good, but recognize this morning that God's way is even better. We can slow down and sharpen our blade by stopping and letting Jesus serve us. Let him come to you today in his body and blood that we'll share together as a congregation. Know that it's there to serve you. And take a deep breath and know that he's there to serve you this morning. This is God's plan to bring rest for our lives. Receive it today in the gift of Jesus' body and his blood. Amen. Let's pray about that, and then we'll share our statement of faith in the creed. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come, each one of us, with our own anxieties and restlessness. Lord, turn us to you as this man had turned to other avenues to find health and restoration. It wasn't a bad idea. It was a good idea. But then you came and showed him a better way through Jesus to gain health and restoration. Lord, remind us today as we receive the body and blood of Jesus that right there, right in that moment, we have full rest and relaxation. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to live to win your approval. We can just rest in how you work for us and are for us. May that calm our souls, calm our bodies in these days. Amen.